Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 12 and verse 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The opening wherefore, meaning for this reason, of course, takes us back to previous verses. And in those previous verses, what we read of is the greatness of Christ. We see in verse 9 that his name is exalted above every name. We see in verse 11 that he is Jesus Christ, he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. For this reason, and the word wherefore means there's an exhortation that's going to follow, and the reason has already been given to back up the exhortation. Again, the reason being who Christ is. The exhortation is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, because of who Jesus is, because of the seriousness of what we read there in verses 9 through verse 11, because of the seriousness, he exhorts them to labor, to bring out the salvation which is in them. Again, because of who Jesus is. This does not teach that salvation is attained by the works of man, but it does teach that salvation works, that salvation will always manifest itself in works. Now, we know from other scriptures that man is not saved by works. We also know from other scriptures that salvation manifests itself in works. In the book of James, chapter 2, and verse 17, we read, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. A man can profess to have faith, but if his faith does not correspond with works, he has a dead faith. In other words, he has a useless faith. If it's dead, it's useless. So in James 2 and verse 18, he says, I will show thee my faith by my works. That is how we show faith. We do not show faith by just making a profession. We show faith by our works. And then in James chapter 2 and verse 20, we read, faith without works is dead. Again, faith without works is useless. That is, it's not the kind of faith that is going to save someone. Notice in, if we keep a mark there in Philippians and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They may by your good works. Salvation shows itself by good works. We read in Philippians chapter 1, if we turn over there, Philippians 1 and verse 6, that salvation is an inward work of God. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. And notice who it is that begins the work. It is God. And he begins the work within us, and he will perform or continue to perform or continue to work until the day of Jesus Christ. So salvation is an inward work. And when God saves us, he doesn't just stop working, but he continues that work. So salvation manifests itself outwardly, and the way it manifests itself outwardly is by works. It manifests itself outwardly by obedience to God. The new birth. No one can be saved without the new birth. John chapter 3, you must be born again. You can't be saved without the new birth. No man's going to come to Christ unless they're born again. Coming to Christ is a result of being born again. But the new birth is an inward work of God that results in the outward manifestation. The outward manifestation is that the soul begins to feel convicted. The soul begins to see an attraction in Jesus Christ, and the soul comes to Jesus Christ. It manifests that a work is already taking place in salvation. When one cries out to the Lord to save them, that is a manifestation that God has already worked in their heart, that God has already worked the new birth in their heart. So the new birth is an inward work, but it shows itself outwardly. Saving faith, as we saw there in James chapter 2, is an inward work. But again, it is a work that shows itself outwardly. Repentance. Repentance is an inward work of God that will always result in an outward manifestation. By the time someone confesses their sin, God has already done a work in their heart. You don't confess and then God does the work. God does the work and you confess. So the salvation is an inward work that results in an outward manifestation that is always, without exception, that is always the case. When salvation takes place, it will show itself outwardly. So what this gets to is those who are saved will have an outward manifestation of what they profess has happened to them. And these two verses, Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, make this so very clear. And what we read in these two verses is an exhortation for you and I to show forth an outward manifestation of the inward work of salvation. Paul then goes on to speak of the spirit in which that is to be carried out. We're to work out our salvation, and we're to do so with fear and trembling, that is, with reverence and humility toward God. We are to manifest our salvation. So verse 12 speaks of the duty of every child of God. And they ought to do this because of who Jesus is. Then we come to verse 13. And verse 13 declares that this outward manifestation of God's saving grace is the result of God's continual working within the child of God. So we see God begins a work within. The result is an outward manifestation. God continues to work within the one whom he has saved, and therefore there is a continual manifestation that salvation has taken place. So notice verse 13 again, for this cause, it is God. Those are very important words. It is God. It is God which worketh. That is, God's doing something. It is God which worketh in you. God is working within, and therefore there's going to be an outward manifestation. If God is working within, there has got to be an outward manifestation. If there is no outward manifestation, you can be sure God's not working within. So it is God which worketh in you both. So that means two things. Both. And he works two things within us. He works to will within us, and he works to do of his good pleasure. That is, within the saved individual, God works that they desire to do the good pleasure of God, or that which is pleasing to God. And not only do they have the desire to please God, they do indeed please God. And it is all the result of God working within you. So, who it is that works within the saved individual? We see here it is God. It is God which worketh in you. Now, he does that, of course, through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells each and every believer. That is one thing that all believers have in common, and that is they have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them. Now, a lot of people today want us to believe that the Holy Spirit is in them, it's just that it's a secret. No one can see it. It just doesn't show outwardly. But he's within me. I'm sorry, but the Bible says something completely different. The Spirit of God indwells us, and wherever the Spirit of God is, he's doing something. Again, we see here it is God which worketh. God is doing something. So the possession of the Holy Spirit is a distinguishing mark of a child of God. To be without the Spirit is to be without Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, talking about the saved, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if a man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And if you do not belong to Christ, you're unsaved, you're lost, you're on your way to hell. Doesn't matter what you profess. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, then you do not have Christ. And if you have the Spirit of Christ, he is doing a work in you, and that work that he is doing in you is going to show itself outwardly. So if we have Christ for our Redeemer, then we have the Holy Spirit for our indweller. Notice in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and verse 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise. Notice, the blessing comes through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit as well. And the Holy Spirit begins to indwell you. He begins to take up his abode within your heart. Paul wrote in Galatians 4 and verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, crying in your hearts, Abba, Father. Because you're saved, because you're a child of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart. So everyone who is saved has the Spirit of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Now, can we possibly believe that the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ, could indwell within an individual and yet that individual show no signs whatsoever of that Spirit indwelling them? I can't believe that. And I can't believe that because the Scriptures teach just the opposite. The Scriptures very plainly teach us that where there is an inward working, there is an outward manifestation. So we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Now think about the person of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1 and verse 2, he is the Spirit of God. The very Spirit of God. The very Spirit of the one who created all things. 1 Peter 1 verse 11, he is the Spirit of Christ. How can one have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them, and that not make a difference in their life? It's going to make a difference. It's not just some spirit. that indwells us. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the very one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that brought Jesus Christ from the tomb. That very same one, with the very same power, dwells within us. And if an individual is overcome by everything in their lives, can you possibly believe that the Spirit who raised up Christ indwells them? I don't believe it. If the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of Christ dwells within us, then we're going to overcome. And that's what 1 John teaches. That if we have faith, we overcome. The Holy Spirit is the power of the highest. We read in Luke chapter 1 in verse 35. The power of the highest, the power of the most sovereign, dwells within every child of God. And does he not make a difference? He is called the Spirit of Holiness in Romans 1 and verse 4. And yet you have individuals today who claim that the Holy Spirit indwells them, and yet that same Holy Spirit never convicts them of unholiness and unrighteousness in their life, and there's no manifestation of holiness or righteousness in their life. Can you possibly believe that the Spirit of Holiness is working in them, or is in them? Because if the Spirit of Holiness is in them, he's also working in them. And it's going to show itself outwardly. He's the Spirit of life. Romans 8, verse 2. He is the very Spirit of life. The Spirit of life indwells us, and that is to manifest itself outwardly. In Isaiah 11 and verse 2, he's the Spirit of might. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the omnipotent, almighty God, the Spirit of the pure and holy God indwells each and every one that is saved. And is that not going to make a difference in their life? That's why we read in 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the context is, therefore we are to be overcomers. We overcome the things of the world because of the one who dwells within us. Not because of anything we are, but because of who it is that dwells within us. So let there be no question. A child of God, no doubt, can backslide. No doubt about it. But the Spirit of God indwells that individual. And that individual cannot be happy in their backslidden state. They cannot possibly be happy in a sinful state, because that same Spirit of God that dwells within them is working. And he's going to convict, and he's going to pierce their hearts, and he's going to prick their hearts. And they cannot possibly be comfortable. They cannot possibly be happy, not for one moment. Not for one moment. And so when someone gets away from the Lord and they want to convince you that their life is better than it ever is, let me tell you, if their life is better than it ever is, they're lost. You cannot possibly be saved and be happy in a backslidden, sinful state. I'm not saying they can't get in a backslidden, sinful state. You can't be happy in that state. So the indwelling God, we see here in Philippians 2 and verse 13, he's active. It is God which worketh in you. And notice those three words, God in you. And then notice that another word, worketh. God in you worketh. Now, that's going to make a difference. That's going to make a difference in our lives. The word worketh means to work. It means to be active. So God in you worketh. God in you active. God is in you, and he's not dormant. He's active. He's doing something. How can God do something and people not see it? So we see to work means he produces an effect. God in you producing an effect. So God not only indwells the saved individual, God is energetic. God is working in the saved individual. He exerts an influence over that individual. And that's an influence that is always there. You can't get away from it. That's why the backslider is so miserable. He wishes he could get away from it, but he can't. He cannot get away from the influence of God. That's just what Psalm 139 is talking about. You can go to the furthest ends of the earth, but guess what? God, he's still there. You can't get away from him because he's in you. And wherever you are, you take him wherever you go. And he's working. Galatians 2 verse 8, for he that wrought effectually or effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me. He works and he works effectively. That is, his work brings about results. And notice those words there, mighty in me, there in Galatians 2 and verse 8. So wherever the Spirit of God dwells, he does something. Now you think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a subduer. Wherever he dwells, he subdues. He, in some degree, wherever he dwells, mortifies the flesh, subdues the evils of the soul in which he resides. Galatians 5 verse 17 tells us the Spirit lusteth or warreth against the flesh. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us and he is always warring against the flesh. Now, again, a child of God can get backslidden. A child of God can fall into sin. But there's always that war going on within them. That's why they can never be comfortable. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. There's a battle. There's a battle going on. And if there is no battle going on, you are completely under the dominion of the flesh. It's because the Spirit's not there. Wherever the Spirit is, this battle exists. You want to sin, but the Spirit of God is there to say, don't do that. And you can't get away from that. You can't get away from it. The Holy Spirit works within as a fruit producer. Wherever he is, he produces fruit. We read in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. But the fruit of the Spirit is, that is, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, and he's within us that are saved, and he's working, and he's producing fruit. And this fruit is going to show itself outwardly. He is referred to as the Spirit of supplication in Romans 8 and verse 26. That is, where the Holy Spirit dwells, he produces a spirit of prayer. There is always that desire to pray. There is always that desire to talk to God where the Spirit of God dwells. The spirit of supplication. And the spirit of supplication is working. Again, where the Holy Spirit dwells, he's working. He's doing a work within. He convicts. You do wrong, the Spirit of God convicts you. Today, people want you to believe that they can do just about anything, and they'll tell you, well, I'm not convicted about it. Well, that speaks volumes. That speaks loud and clear who you are. Because if the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, there's going to be some convicting going on. There's going to be, the Holy Spirit, when he's within us, he draws us. And if the Spirit of God is within us, he's going to draw us closer to the Lord. And no matter how much we try to get away, he's always drawing. He's always drawing. The Spirit of God teaches. How is it today that so many who profess to be saved know nothing? I mean, they absolutely know nothing. They profess to be saved for years and years and years, and yet they know nothing. And people say, well, God just hasn't shown them yet. Hasn't shown them anything? I find that hard to believe. Certainly he's going to, somewhere along the line, he's going to show them something. Now I realize God doesn't show everyone truth equally. But he, wherever he dwells, he shows them something. He shows them his son. He shows them the truth about Jesus Christ. And wherever the Spirit of God dwells, he leads. And he doesn't lead into sin. He leads by the still waters. He leads in paths of righteousness. And where the Spirit of God is, he assures. He gives assurance and he enables. He enables an individual to do what they ought to do. So we see here in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both, and then notice the first thing he does that he works within us is to will. He works within us to will. That's in light of his good pleasure. In other words, he gives us a desire to do the good pleasure of God. Now, what is the good pleasure of God? It's that which pleases God. So everyone who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them, that Spirit works in them to will, to desire the pleasure of God. The desire to please God. A desire for the things of God. I find it hard to believe that an individual has the Spirit of God dwelling in them and they have no desire whatsoever for the things of God. Even the backslider has desires within them to return. The backslider has a desire to get right. The backslider still hungers for what he once was. He doesn't lose that because the Spirit of God dwells within him, gives him that will to do the good pleasure of God. Psalm 110 and verse 3 says, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. God's people are always willing to do that which is pleasing to God. There's something within them that wants to please God. The man who does not have the Spirit of God, they want to please the world. They want to please the world's ways. But the individual who has the Spirit of God within them, there is that desire, I want to please the Lord. Sure, they still have their flesh, and their flesh still desires to please the world, but they can't get away from that desire that they have to please God. Every saved individual has that desire within them to please the Lord. He works in them to will. We see in Proverbs 11 and verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. And the Spirit of God working in us gives us the desire to do good. To do what is right, not to defend what is wrong, but to do what is right. Even when a child of God is backslidden, however far they get away from God, I don't believe that a child of God will get to the point where they try to defend sin at the same time put down righteousness. The Spirit of God works in them that there's still that desire to do what's right. There's still that desire. I have far more hope for the individual who says, I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I want to be. I have some hope for that person because what wants them to be is the Spirit of God dwelling in them. But the person who at all costs defends their sinful lifestyle, I don't have much hope for that person as far as salvation is concerned. God gives us a desire to please God. He gives us a desire to be close to God. He gives us a desire to know the Lord, to know the Lord more fully. Every saved individual has within them a desire to know God, to know Him more fully. Every saved individual has within them a desire for the Word of God. There's something in them that they long for the Word of God. They desire God's Word. They desire to be with God's people. He also gives them a desire to be in subjection to God. The Spirit of God. Again, the person may be backslidden and they may not be in subjection to God. But somewhere within them, if the Spirit of God is in them, He's working. And somewhere within them, they have a desire to get back to God. They have a desire to be right with God. They have a desire to be in subjection to God. The individual says, I'm not right with God, and I have no desire to get right with God. Well, your problem is far greater than simply not being right with God. We see God gives them a desire for God to be glorified in their lives. Everyone that's saved, the Spirit of God dwells in them, the Spirit of God is working, and that individual somewhere within them has a desire to glorify God. They want to glorify God. They may not be doing it. But somewhere within them there is a desire to glorify God. Somewhere within them there is a desire for holiness and righteousness. How can one even dare to say that the Holy Spirit, put the emphasis on holy, that the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart and you have no desire for holiness and no desire for righteousness? None. And all they want to talk about is how those who are striving to live holy lives, they're hypocrites. Yes, they are. We're all hypocrites. There isn't a one of us here that is not a hypocrite. But don't you see, that doesn't excuse your condition. Not one iota. And when a person gets so low that they have to use that as an argument, I'm sorry, but you're probably lost. There has to be a desire for holiness. There has to be a desire for righteousness. Now notice Philippians 2 verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you to will. He doesn't stop there. God doesn't just give us the desire, but notice, and to do His good pleasure. God dwells within us, and He does two things. He gives us a desire to please God, and He gives us the ability to please God. To will and to do. So it's more than just simply wanting to do something. It's actually doing it. And where God works the will, He also works the doing as well. If God gives you a desire to do what is right, He'll give you the ability to do what is right. God gives you the desire to be holy, then He will give you the ability to be holy. He works both. That's what it says. He doesn't just work one at a time. It says both, to will and to do. Where He works the one, He works the other. He doesn't just work one. Where there's the one, there's the other. And that is true, I believe, in every child of God, because every child of God has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. So the question is tonight, can you feel the Holy Spirit of God indwelling your life? And again, if the Spirit of God indwells us, how can you not feel that? How can you not feel that? If somebody as omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent as the Holy Spirit is in us, how can that not make you feel something? It has to. It has to. Someone will say, well, salvation's more than feeling. Yes, it is. It's a lot more than feeling. But it involves feeling. And you feel the Spirit of God in your life. How many feel the Spirit of God in their life? And they have that desire to bring pleasure to the Lord. And when God gives you the desire to bring pleasure to the Lord, the same God gives the ability to do so. He gives you the desire to be close to the Lord. And the same God that gives you the desire to be close to the Lord gives you the ability to be close to the Lord. So where He gives the desire, He gives the ability. He gives us the desire to know the Lord more fully. And the same God who gives that desire gives us the ability to know the Lord more fully. Someone says, I just want to know God more. Well, you can. God puts that desire within your heart. He also gives you the ability to do so. So we see working out our salvation is simply working out what has been worked in. You can't work out what's not worked in. It's not possible. You can't possibly bring it out if it's not in. So God has to work it in, and then we work it out. And the way we work it out is we just manifest what is within. We just manifest what's within. And you can't help it. You just can't help it. It just happens. The Spirit of God dwells within us, and the Spirit of God manifests itself outwardly. I believe there is no exceptions to that. None whatsoever. Well, they have, you listen to them, and they have a really good testimony. It's hard for me to, I mean, they know all the words. It's hard for me to believe that they're not saved. I know they're not living right, and I know they've never shown that they're saved, but it sure sounds good. Anybody that hangs around church long enough can obtain that ability. You learn the language, and you can make it sound really good. But there's more to it than that. There's far more to it than that. There has to be an outward manifestation. So we need to really look at our lives. We need to look within. Has salvation been worked within our hearts? And if so, it's showing itself outwardly. Not like it ought to, but it does show. It does show. People can see the Spirit of God in us. Again, a saved person may spend most of their saved life backslidden. They may be constantly going back and forth. They may be very, very, very weak. But if they're saved, they'll show some signs. Somewhere along the line, they just can't help it. They show some signs that the Lord has done something, that the Lord has saved them. But the individual that shows no sign whatsoever, there's a reason. There's a reason why they don't show any signs. And that is because the Spirit of God doesn't dwell within. So search your own heart this evening. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.